بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we were discussing the Kuttab and the Rusul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Kuttab were his scribes, i.e. those who would write down for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So either it was the Quran which they would write, and they are known as Kuttabul Wahi, or it was the hadith of the Prophet, and they were very, very few in number, perhaps only one or two. And then the third thing which they used to write is the dictation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we mention amongst them the four khulafa: Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. They were kuttab of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the freed slave of Abu Bakr, whose name was Amr ibn Fuhayra or Amir ibn Fuhayra, and others such as Ubay ibn Ka'b and Thabit ibn Qais al-Shammas, and also Zayd ibn Thabit and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And we went through the biographies of some of the scribes of the Prophet. And in detail, we went through the biography of Zayd and Muawiyah radiallahu anhuma. And in this lesson, we come to the Rusul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Rusul are the messengers who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to send to the different kings and empires and rulers and tribes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to give da'wah to the people, when he used to call the people to Islam, he used to utilize different methods and different strategies of giving da'wah. And amongst his strategies was writing. So sometimes the Prophet would verbally call people to Islam. Sometimes he would take care of the needs of the people to call them to Islam. Sometimes he would do actions in front of the people to call them to Islam. And sometimes he would send letters to the people to call them to Islam. And this is the basis for why the ulama, they write books and articles in calling people to Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent a letter to almost every king and every ruler who was ruling in his time in his vicinity. And in these letters, he would describe, he would call them to Islam and tell them about the beauties of Islam and the basic message of Islam. Some of the kings who received the letters, they accepted Islam. Like An-Najashi, he accepted Islam. Others, they knew Islam was the truth and they were amazed by Islam. However, they refused to accept Islam. And they didn't refuse to accept Islam because they were rejecting it, disbelieving in it. Rather, they refused to accept Islam because they did not want to lose their kingdom. So, for example, I'm going to come to them. Qaisar, who was the emperor of Rome, and Muqawqas, who was the emperor of Misr, and also the ruler of Bahrain at that time. They knew that the message was the truth, but they did not want to accept it because they didn't want to lose their kingdom or their authority. And there were others like Kasra, who was the emperor of the Persians at that time, who arrogantly and stubbornly rejected the message of Islam. And the author, he said, Ba'atha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam Amr ibn Umayyah al-Dhamari Rasulan ila Najashi. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent Amr ibn Umayyah al-Dhamari to An-Najashi. And An-Najashi, he was the ruler of Abyssinia. And in those days, what was called Abyssinia today is that area in eastern Africa, which is Ethiopia and Eritrea and Djibouti, and I think also some of Sudan. So all of that was known as Habasha or Abyssinia, and mainly Ethiopia. He said, "Wasmuhu Ashama," and the name of An-Najashi was Ashama. These names, like An-Najashi wasn't the name of the ruler of Abyssinia. Rather, it was his title. So at that time, the kings of the different empires and countries, they had titles. An-Najashi was a title, not the name. Like Fir'aun isn't a name. Fir'aun is the title of every ruler of what was known as Misr at that time, who was upon kufr and who was upon disbelief. So Najashi was a general title of anybody who ruled Habasha. And Qaisar was the name of anybody who ruled Rome or the Roman Empire, which we translate as being Caesar. So in Arabic, Qaisar, and in Latin, Caesar. And anybody who ruled Persia was known by Kasra, and anybody who ruled Misr from amongst the Kufara was known as Fir'aun. So these were titles, like we say emperor or king, that was given to their people. An-Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, his name was not An-Najashi. Rather, his name was Ashama. He said, وَمَعْنَاهُ عَطِيَّةً. And the meaning of Ashama is somebody who gives and somebody who grants. He said, the author, فَأَخَذَ كِتَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَوَضَعَهُ عَلَىٰ عَيْنَيْهِ. That when An-Najashi, when he received the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took the letter and he placed it on his forehead. Or he placed the letter above his two eyes. وَنَزَلَ عَنْ سَرِيرِهِ. And then he came down from his throne. فَجَلَسَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. And then he sat down upon the earth. وَأَسْلَمَ. And he accepted Islam. وَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُ. And he became a good Muslim. إِلَّا أَنَّ إِسْلَامَهُ كَانَ عِنْدَ حُضُورِ جَعْفَرِ. Except that his Islam was later on when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib came to An-Najashi. وَصَحَّ أَنَّ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ مَاتْ. And it is authentic that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed janaza over An-Najashi when Najashi died. Najashi died in Abyssinia, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed his janaza in Al-Madinah. And some narrators say that light could be seen coming from his grave. So the author mentioned that one of the first letters and messengers who the Prophet sent to the kings was to the ruler of Abyssinia at that time, who was An-Najashi. And his name is Ashama. And that this An-Najashi, he accepted the letter and he accepted Islam. However, he accepted Islam when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib came to him, not when the letter with Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damari came to him. In reality, there were two different kings, and both of them are known as An-Najashi. The king who accepted Islam and was prayed over by the Prophet Janazatul Ghaib, his name was Ashama. And then there was another king after him to whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a letter with Amr ibn Umayyah. So they were actually two different Najashis or two different kings. And this is what Ibn Qayyim mentioned in Zad al-Ma'ad. He said, Ashamat al-Najashi, Ashama, is not the one who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wrote to. He is the one who the 80 companions went and they migrated and they stayed under his rule. And he is the one who accepted Islam. And when he died in Abyssinia, the Prophet prayed his janazah in Al-Madinah. And then there was another king who was also given the title An-Najashi. And then the Prophet sent to him a letter with this companion Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damri. And Anas radiallahu anhu mentioned, كَتَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he sent letters to Kisra and Qaisar and An-Najashi wa ila kulli jabbar. And to every ruler at that time, the Prophet sent a letter to them, yad'uhum ila Allah, calling them to Allah. So the one who accepted Islam and the one whom the Prophet prayed over, he is the one who accepted Islam at the hands of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. And the one who received the letter at the hands of Amr ibn Umayyah, that is a different Najashi. And we don't know whether he accepted Islam or not. Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَلَا يُعْرَفْ إِسْلَامُهُ. We do not know if the second one, whether he accepted Islam or not, Allah knows best. The first Najashi, his name was Ashama. And although he was a Christian, but he was a fair and just ruler. And when the Quraysh were persecuting the Muslims in Mecca early on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had heard of a king in Abyssinia who was just. And he said to the companions, "Inna biha malikun, or inna biha malikan la yudlam indahu ahad." That there is a king in Abyssinia and it is said regarding him that he does not oppress anybody. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he allowed 80 of the companions to go to Abyssinia and seek refuge in Abyssinia. And when the companions went to Abyssinia, the Quraysh, they heard of some of the companions going. So the Quraysh, they sent two from amongst the leaders of the Quraysh to go to Abyssinia to bring the companions back. And we mentioned in lesson 9, the discussion which took place between Ja'far ibn Abi Talib and An-Najashi, and how An-Najashi, he rejected the Quraysh and he sent them back, and also he refused to accept their gifts, and he also returned their gifts back. And the companions, they stayed and they lived under An-Najashi in Habasha until the 7th year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until Khaybar was conquered. And whilst they were living in Habasha, they used to worship Allah freely and they used to call to Islam. The other Najashi, he is the one to whom the Prophet sent a letter. And the Prophet sent him a letter with his messenger called Amr ibn Umayyah radiyallahu anhu. And he is the one, Allah knows best, that when he saw the letter of the Prophet, he took the letter and he placed it over his eyes or head. Meaning it was out of respect of what the Prophet had said. And also, he descended from his throne and he sat down upon the earth. Again, due to respect of what the Prophet has sent him. And then it is said that he accepted Islam. So some of the ulama say that the Najashi who accepted Islam, Ashama, he was the first one to accept Islam. Then he died and another Najashi came. And then the Prophet sent a letter to the second Najashi. And some of the ulama said that it's the same Najashi, except the first he received the letter, but he accepted Islam later on with Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, later on when An-Najashi was about to die. And some of them said that we don't know whether the other Najashi, whether he accepted Islam or not. And like I said, in lesson 9, we went through the discussion which took place between the companions and An-Najashi. And then the author mentioned a second messenger who he sent. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent Dahiyya ibn Khalifa al-Kilbi ila Qaisar, to Qaisar, and Qaisar was the emperor of Rome. And again, Qaisar is not his name. Qaisar, I see, is just an honorific title. His name was Hirqal. So Qaisar, his name was Hirqal. And Hirqal, or Qaisar, he knew Islam is the truth. And he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the true prophet. And he respected the message of the Prophet. However, he refused to accept Islam. He refused to accept Islam because he didn't want to lose his kingdom and lose his followers. And when this companion, Dahiyya ibn Khalifa, the messenger of the Prophet, when he went to Qaisar, Hirqal, Abu Sufyan, who at that time was a non-Muslim, he was also present in Sham. And when we say the Roman Empire, we have to remember that the Roman Empire was actually two different empires. There was Eastern Rome and there was Western Rome. Eastern Rome, the Eastern Roman Empire, the head of that empire was in Damascus, in Damascus. And the Western Empire of Rome, that was what we know as the Roman Empire in the West. So when we say that the Prophet sent a letter to the Romans, i.e. to the Eastern Romans, who at that time were based in Sham and in Damascus. Abu Sufyan, who at that time was a non-Muslim, he was a trader. And he used to go to Syria, Damascus, and back to Mecca. When the message of the Prophet came to Hirqal, also Abu Sufyan, as a non-Muslim, went to Hirqal as well. And Abu Sufyan went to try to oppose the letter of the Prophet. And later on, when Abu Sufyan accepted Islam, in Sahih Bukhari, the narration is mentioned, the conversation which took place between Abu Sufyan as a non-Muslim and Hirqal, who is the Caesar of the Eastern Romans. And also Ibn Abbas mentions this narration. And that is that when Dahiyah came, the messenger of the Prophet, and also Abu Sufyan and some of his companions were there. Hirqal, he called one of his translators, somebody who could speak Arabic. And he said to his translators, that say to all of these Arabs, أَيُّكُمْ أَقْرَبُ نَسَبًا بِهَذَا الرَّجُلُ, that who amongst all of you is closest in lineage to this man Muhammad. This man, الَّذِي يَزْعَمُ أَنَّهُ النَّبِيُّ, this man who claims that he's a prophet, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who amongst you here is most closely related to him? So Abu Sufyan, who was a non-Muslim, he said, أَنَا أَقْرَبُهُمْ نَسَبًا, that I am the closest person to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in terms of relations and blood and lineage. So then Qaisar, or Caesar, he said, أَدْنُوهُ مِنِّي, he said to his followers, that bring Abu Sufyan forward. وَقَرِّبُوا أَصْحَابَهُ, and also the friends of Abu Sufyan, his group, bring them forward as well. فَجْعَلُوهُمْ عِنْدَ ظَهْرِهِ, and as for his companions, seat them behind him. Meaning bring Abu Sufyan forward, and I'm going to talk to him. As for his friends and his companions who are with him, then send them a little bit back. And then the ruler, he said to his translator, he said, قُلْ لَهُمْ إِنِّي سَائِلٌ هَذَا عَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, that say to these people, his followers, that I am going to question Abu Sufyan about this man, Muhammad. فَإِنْ كَذَّبَنِي فَكَذِّبُوهُ, so if he lies to me about something, then you, his followers, have to tell me that he is lying. Abu Sufyan said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْلَ الْحَيَا, he said, by Allah, had it not been for the fact that I would have been embarrassed that my own people are calling me liars, had it not been that I didn't want to be known as a liar, I would have lied against the Prophet. But because I didn't want to be known as a liar amongst my people, only for that reason, I did not want to lie against him, because I did not want to be known as a liar. So then Hirqal, Caesar, he said to Abu Sufyan, كَيْفَ نَسَبُهُ فِيكُمْ, that what is the lineage of this man Muhammad amongst you? And Abu Sufyan said, هُوَ فِينَا ذُو نَسَبٍ, that this man Muhammad, who claims to be a prophet, he has a very high and noble lineage amongst us. Then Abu Sufyan said to him, فَهَلْ قَالَ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ قَطْ قَبْلَهُ, has anybody else before you, Quraysh, Arabs, said this statement which he is also saying? And Abu Sufyan said, no, nobody has ever come with this message that he has come with. Then Hirqal asked Abu Sufyan, وَهَلْ كَانَ مِنْ آبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلِكٍ, that was any one of his fathers or his grandfathers, were any of them kings? And Abu Sufyan said, no, nobody from his forefathers was a king. Then Hirqal asked Abu Sufyan, فَأَشْرَافُ النَّاسِ يَتَّبِعُونَهُ أَمْ ضُعَفَا, is it the weak people who are following him and accepting his message, or is it the leaders of society and the chiefs of the tribes? And Sufyan said, "Bal du'afahum." Rather, the only people who are following Muhammad are the weak people, those who have no place in society. Then Hirqal asked him, "Ayazidun am yanqusun?" That are his followers growing in number, or all his followers diminishing in number? And Abu Sufyan said, "Bal yazidun." That his followers every day they are growing in number. And then he asked him, "Fahal yartaddu ahadun minhum sakhtatan lidinihi?" That does any of the followers of Muhammad, do they ever leave and abandon and apostate from their religion because they are not happy with his message? And Abu Sufyan said, "No, there's nobody who leaves his religion after they have accepted his religion." Then Hirqal said to Abu Sufyan, and remember Abu Sufyan is a non-Muslim at that time, "فَهَلْ كُنْتُمْ تَتَّهِمُونَهُ بِالْكَذِبِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُولَ مَا قَالَ?" Did any of you ever accuse him of lying and dishonesty before he came with this message? And Abu Sufyan said, "No, we never thought that he would be a liar." And then Hirqal asked him, "فَهَلْ يَغْدِرُ?" That this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is he treacherous? Has he ever attacked you without any reason? Does he fight against you recklessly? And Abu Sufyan said, "La, no, he's never been treacherous towards us. He's never fought us recklessly." وَنَحْنُ مِنْهُ فِي مُدَّةٍ لَا نَدْرِي مَا هُوَ فَاعِلٌ فِيهَا. However, right now, we're in a situation between us and him, and we don't know how he's going to react. We don't know, maybe now he will be treacherous towards us. Abu Sufyan mentioned, later on when he was mentioning this hadith, he said, وَلَا تُمْكِنِّي كَلِمَةٌ أُدُخِلُ فِيهَا شَيْئًا غَيْرَ هَذِي الْكَلِمَةِ. He said, the only time I could mention something against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was this statement. The only thing which I could try to enter without lying is saying that although he has never been treacherous against us, but maybe there's going to come a time when he will be treacherous. And then Hirqal asked him, "فَهَلْ قَاتَلْتُمُوهُ?" And do you Quraysh fight against this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? قُلْتُ نَعَمْ. Abu Sufyan said, "Yes." Then Hirqal said, "فَكَيْفَ كَانَ قَاتِلُكُمْ إِيَّا?" He said, "What is the result of your fighting between him and you? What's the result of this fighting?" And Abu Sufyan said, "الْحَرْبُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سِجَالٌ يُنَالُ مِنَّا وَنَنَالُ مِنْهُ." That between us, sometimes he wins and sometimes we win. Sometimes we have victory and authority, sometimes he has victory and authority. Then Hirqal asked him, "وَمَاذَا يَأْمُرْكُمْ?" And this man Muhammad, what does he call you to? What's his message? And Abu Sufyan said that he says, "اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدًا." He tells us to worship Allah alone. "وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا." And he tells us not to perform shirk and commit, make partners to Allah. "وَتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ آبَاؤُكُمْ." And he tells us to abandon what our forefathers used to do. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. And he orders us with as-salah and as-sidq, being truthful. والعفاف, and being modest and chaste. والصلة, and keeping the ties of kinship. Notice Hirqal, he asked Abu Sufyan very specific questions. And he asked all of these questions for a particular reason. Because he wanted to ascertain whether this man Muhammad who had sent this letter sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether he's really a prophet or not. So then he said to him, then Hirqal said to Abu Sufyan, سَأَلْتُكَ عَن نَسَبِهِ. I asked you about the lineage of this man. فَذَكَرْتَ أَنَّهُ فِيكُمْ ذُو نَسَبٍ. And you mentioned to me that this man, he has a noble lineage, a high lineage. And then Hirqal said, فَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلْ تُبْعَثُ فِي نَسَبِ قَوْمِهَا. And this is how the messengers have always been. Whenever Allah sends a true messenger, whenever Allah sends a messenger to a people, he always sends the messenger from the same lineage of the people. وَسَأَلْتُكَ هَلْ قَالَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ. And then I asked you, did anybody amongst the Quraysh ever say the statement which this man is saying? فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا. And you, Abu Sufyan, said nobody has ever said this statement. فَقُلْتُ. So I thought to myself, لَوْ كَانَ أَحَدٌ قَالَ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ قَبْلَهُ. Had anybody said a similar type of statement before him, لَقُلْتُ رَجُلٌ يَأْتَسِي بِقَوْلِ قِيلَ قَبْلَهُ. Then I would have said that this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it isn't revelation which he is coming with, rather he is copying a statement of those who came before him. وَسَأَلْتُكَ And then I asked you, هَلْ كَانَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلِكٍ Then I asked you, was one of his fathers or his grandfather, was he ever a king? فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا And then you, Abu Sufyan, you said that nobody from his forefathers was a king. Hirqal said that what I was thinking was, لَوْ كَانَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلِكٍ If one of his forefathers was a king, then I would have said, رَجُلٌ يَطْلُبُ مُلْكَ أَبِي That this man, he's only come with this message or this revolution to try to claim the kingdom of his forefather. Meaning his dad used to be a king, his granddad used to be a king. The kingdom was taken away. Now he wants to reclaim the kingdom of his forefathers. And so this is why he has come with this message. And then I asked you, that did you used to ever accuse him of lying before he came with this message? فَذَكَرْتَ أَلَّا And you, Abu Sufyan, you said, no, he never used to lie. He said, فَقَدْ أَعْرِفُ إِنَّهُ إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ لِيَذِرَ الْكَذِبْ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكْذِبْ عَلَى اللَّهِ He said, if this man has never lied about the people, then I know that he will never lie about Allah. The fact that you admit that he has never lied about a human, then how can I now say that he is going to lie about the creator of the heavens and the earth? وَسَأَلْتُكَ أَشْرَافُ النَّاسَ تَتَّبَعُهُ أَمْ ضُعَفَاؤُهُمْ And then I asked you, is it the noble people who are following him, the powerful people who are following him, or is it the weak people who are following him? And you said that it is only the weak people who are following him. And then Hirqal said, وَكَذَلِكَ هُمْ أَتْبَعُ الرُّسُلُ He said, and this is how it's always been. Whenever a messenger has come to the people, initially, it is always the weak, poor, downtrodden people follow the true messenger. And then I asked you, do his numbers increase or decrease? And you mentioned that his numbers are only increasing. Hirqal said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَمْرُ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَتِمْ And this is how true iman is. Iman increases and increases until it takes over. And then I asked you, that does anybody ever reject his religion after accepting it? Does anybody ever abandon his message after accepting it? And you said, no, nobody has left his religion. Hirqal said, وَكَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ And this is how true iman is. حِينَ تُخَالِطُ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبِ When the sweetness of iman, when it enters into the hearts of the people, then the people will never leave that iman and that religion. And then I asked you, هَلْ يَغْدِرْ Does he betray? Is he treacherous? Does he attack you? Is he violent? And you said, no. And then Hirqal said, وَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلْ لَا تَغْدِرْ And this is how the messengers are. The messengers are never treacherous and they never are violent and they never attack the people without any due right. And then I asked you, what does he call you to? And you said that he calls you to Allah and to worshipping Allah alone and forbids you from shirk and warns you against worshipping the idols and he calls you to as-salah and he calls you to truthfulness and he calls you to modesty and haya. And then Hirqal said, فَإِنْ كَانَ مَا تَقُولُ حَقًّا That if everything that you have told me, Abu Sufyan, if all of this is true, فَسَيَمْلِكُ مَوْضِعَ قَدَمِيَّ هَاتَيْنِ Then there will come a day when this man Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will own the land which is underneath my feet. There will come a day that his religion and his kingdom will spread so much that this Rome which is beneath my feet, he will control Rome. And the religion of Islam will come to these lands which is beneath my feet. He said, وَقَدْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ خَارِجٌ He said, I knew that there was a messenger who was going to be coming. Because remember, the Jews and the Christians, in their own scriptures, it was prophesied that a man, the final messenger, the final prophet, he's going to come to the people. لَمْ أَكُنْ أَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ مِنْكُمْ However, I never thought that he would come from amongst you, the Arabs, you, the Quraysh. And he said that if I could meet him, then I would crawl to meet him. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ عِنْدَهُ لَغَسَلْتُ عَنْ قَدَمْهِ And if I could meet this man, I would wash the feet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Harqal, he knew Islam is the truth. And he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the prophesied man who is mentioned in the scriptures. However, he told the messengers of the Prophet that if I accept Islam, my followers are not going to accept this from me. And if I accept Islam, because these people are Christians, they are going to cause a revolution and they're going to exile me. And for this reason, he never accepted Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that he will bear his sin and he will also bear the sin of the people in his country, because he did not allow Islam to enter into his country. So that was a second messenger who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent. Also, the author said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent Abdullah ibn Hudhafa Sahmi to Kasra, and Kasra was the emperor or the ruler of the Persians. And this Kasra, he was arrogant. And when the messenger Abdullah ibn Hudhafa Sahmi, when he came with the letter to Kasra, Kasra took the letter and he tore it up into small pieces and he threw it away like this. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told, when Abdullah returned back to him, that this is what he did, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a dua. He said, "Mazzaqallahu mulkahu," that just as he tore my letter, then let Allah tear his empire to pieces. And what was the letter of the Prophet to Kasra? It was like this: Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, min Muhammadin Rasulillah, from Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, ila Kasra Azimi Faris, to Kasra, the great emperor or the great ruler of the Persians. Salamun ala man ittaba al huda, peace be upon the one who follows the guidance. Wa amana billahi wa rasulihi, and safety is for the one who has iman in Allah and his messenger. Wa shahida an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Then he said, wa ad'uka bi di'ayatillah, he said, I call you with the calling of Allah. Fa inni ana rasulullah ila an-nasi kafatan, I am the messenger of Allah to all people. Liyundhira man kana hayyan, to warn every person who is alive. Wa yuhiqqa al-qawl 'ala al-kafirin, that the threat or the punishment of Allah will be true upon the disbelievers. Fa aslim tuslim, so if you accept Islam, you will be safe. Fa in abayta, however, if you refuse to accept Islam, fa inna ithmal majusi alayk, then the sin of all the Persians, it will also be upon your shoulders. And this was the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, concise and to the point, and also with honor, the honor of Islam. He started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Secondly, he addressed Kisra in a respectful way, in a way which is appropriate. Because this man Kisra is not a normal person. He's a king, he's an emperor of one of the greatest civilizations of that time. And so the Prophet called him ila Kisra Azim al-Faris. He said to Kisra, the great ruler, the great emperor of the Persians. And also when he sent a letter to Hirqal, he said ila Hirqal Azim al-Rum, to Hirqal, the great emperor of the Romans. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is to address the people according to what they are worthy of. And in this is a lesson, that if this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed a kafir, and he's a tyrant, and he's a king, then us, between us, we should also use the appropriate terms. So when you're speaking to your father and your mother, you can't address your father and your mother as if it's your friend, and speak to them as if it's your friend. And this is why in our culture, when we speak to our father or mother or our uncles, aunties, or the friends, our fathers and mothers, we use plural with them, because it's respectful. When you're speaking to the imam of the masjid, or your teacher, or a scholar, you don't speak to him like you're speaking to a normal ignorant person. When you're speaking to a sister, or a woman, it's not like how you're speaking to a man. So everybody should be addressed how they are addressed. And Ummul Mu'min Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Anzilun Nas Manazilahum. That treat each person in how they should be treated. The respect and the right and the status that they have in society, this is how you have to address them. So the Prime Minister of a country, for example, you're allowed to give him the terms which he's deserving of. Or the Imam of a masjid, or a guest who comes, or a counsellor. For example, you say, Counsellor Fulan, MP Fulan, even if he's a kafir, you have to show them the respect of their status which they have. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salam ala man ittaba'al huda. That the greetings of salam is for everybody who accepts the guidance. And then the Prophet told him about Islam. That what is Islam? It is shahadat la ilaha illallah wa muhammadan rasulullah. It is iman billah and iman bil rusul. And then he gave him the concise message. Aslim tuslim. If you want to be safe in this life and in the hereafter, then accept Islam. If you accept Islam, then you will have success in this dunya and you will have success in the akhirah. And if you do not accept Islam, then there is no success for you in this life, and in the hereafter there is going to be a punishment which is even worse. And also from the punishment is that not only will you bear the punishment of yourself rejecting Islam, but you will also bear the sin of every citizen who is underneath you who does not accept Islam, because you refused Islam to enter into your country. And this is the same with every ruler in every country. Every ruler in every country, he bears the responsibility of his own self, and he also bears the responsibility of those people who are beneath him. So if, for example, he brings a law which is un-Islamic, then he has the sin for the law, and he has the sin of every person who implements that law. And similarly, the Imam of a masjid. The Imam of a masjid, if he allows a bid'ah to take place, and he does not warn the people against the bid'ah, then not only does he bear the sin of the bid'ah, but he also bears the sin of every single person underneath his authority who followed the bid'ah. And of course, they also have the sin. However, this kasra, he belittled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was arrogant, and he even said, "Who is this abdun haqir? Who is this humiliated, belittled slave? I, Muhammad, who is he? Min ra'iyati, and he's from my citizens." Yaktubu ismahu qabli, and he dares to write his name before my name. Because in the letter, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote, min Muhammadin Rasulillah ila kasra azimi faris. From Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Kasra, the great emperor of the Persians. So he said, how dare he write his name before my name, and I am the emperor of the Persians. And then he tore the letter up. And then when the Prophet heard this later on, the Prophet made the dua, Mazzaqallahu mulkahu, may Allah tear up his kingdom. And when Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi, when he returned, only a few days later, after the Prophet made this dua, there was a revolution against Kisra, and his own son, he revolted against him, and he disposed him from the kingdom, and he killed his own father. And the empire of the Persians, it was torn into pieces. And so Allah was truthful in the promise which he made to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuha rasul, O messenger, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, convey that which has been revealed to you from your Lord. Wa illam taf'al fama ballaghta risalatahu, and if you do not do so, you have not conveyed the message of your Lord. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas, and Allah will protect you from the people. Inna Allah la yahdi al-qawm al-kafirin, verily Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. And then after this, there are other letters and messengers who the Prophet sent to Muqawqis, who was the ruler of Misr, and also to Yemen, and also he sent a letter to Bahrain, and also he sent letters to various other kings, We'll come to them in the next lesson. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.